Hey guys, I'm Jared.
I'm Austin.
And today we're going to be talking about some of the origins of coffee, that whole side of things. Make sure you have a cup of coffee. It's pretty much mandatory at this point. If you don't have
Yes.
one right now, stop, go through a drive-through. There's somewhere that's probably open right now. Grab a cup of coffee and add us on Instagram. We've got our
Pause.
links in the show notes. Pause if you have to.
Yeah, get your cup of coffee. As soon as you have it, unpause. We'll jump right in.
Yeah, and make sure you share with us what you're drinking today. We so want to know what you're drinking. And with that, let's get started.
Everyone knows that if you drink a cup of coffee, you most likely have to poop afterward. That's how you know coffee's working. It's the I actually looked it up, and a muscle flexes in your smaller intestines when you drink coffee, which forces you to poop.
It's the grossest thing I've heard all day.
Keeps you regular.
Keeps you very regular. Maybe not normal, but regular indeed, right?
Not a joke, but it's a phrase that I really like. It kind of made me laugh, but it's true. It's that coffee is the most important meal of the day.
Ah, this is true. This is true right behind dinner.
It's coffee.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing else.
It's also, apparently, it's literally the number two drink in the entire world, right behind water.
Okay, so what's number one?
Yeah, coffee immediately followed by water. Like just the United States, mind you. We consume like 450 million cups of coffee every single day. That's like, what's that, like 1.5 cups per person or something like that?
I
In a day?
contribute my fair share to that number, though.
I do too. I'm at least at three. I'm well above average. But I mean, that includes people that don't drink any coffee. Another coffee factoid for you. Military rations going all the way back to the Revolutionary War have always included some form of coffee or caffeine or instant coffee.
I'm a firm believer that coffee is one of the best contributing factors to boosting morale in any space.
Yeah.
War, apparently they're using it for it. Workspaces, everything. If you're a business owner and you're not thinking, how do I constantly supply coffee for my workers, you're missing a great opportunity to boost the morale of your organization
Absolutely.
and the efficiency. And yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of coffee, today we are sipping on a Panamanian Carmen Estate Natural.
Are you trying to pronounce Panama?
Well, no, Panamanian. It's of Panama.
Okay. Panamanian, yes.
So, it's roasted up by Archetype Coffee in Omaha. Excellent. They do pretty solid work. Notes of melon, tropical crunch, and strawberry shortcake. Also just coffee,
Yeah,
so
so I do taste coffee when I'm tasting it.
I do get notes of coffee as
And
well.
just so people are aware, I am not the coffee expert by any means. I am just a regular guy who enjoys a good cup of coffee. And so hope you guys know I am just a regular guy who drinks good cups of coffee because
Well,
of Jared.
if you're a regular guy, then what does that make
An
mean?
expert
An irregular
coffee,
guy?
an irregular.
An
Actually,
irregular
he's regular because he's drinking coffee. But
and
he's
450 million other people. So today we're going to talk about kind of the birth of coffee and where coffee came from and maybe a little bit of where it looks like it's going. If we have some time at the end, that might be fun to explore, but
I've always assumed coffee came from some people were hungry and they ate a bean and they realized they had energy.
so it's actually not a bean. It's the coffee bean is actually more of like a seed, and it's in a cherry. So it comes on a tree. It grows on a little coffee tree, and it's a bright red looking cherry. And so the first like story, we don't actually know where it came from, but the first story, and they're really more folk and legend. But this goat farmer in Ethiopia is like walking his goat along, or doing whatever goat farmers do with their goats, I guess. I don't know. And the goat happened to eat this berry. And this berry looking thing, obviously, was a coffee cherry. And it went crazy and had all this energy. And the goat farmer was like, what the heck? And so he just started eating them. That would not be my first reaction if my goat went crazy after eating a bean. But, and so he was like, these are great. And he took them down to the local monk, and he was like, these are great, they give you energy. And the monk was like, No, that's not a good effect or something like that. I don't know. He just disapproved. And so he threw them in the fire, apparently. And then they started roasting as coffee does. They started smelling it. And the guy came back and like scraped the coffee beans out of the ashes and like tried to make them to where he could eat them by like grinding them up and boiling them in water. And that was one account of the first cup of coffee.
How long ago was that? Do you know
Yeah,
about when?
that was 850 AD.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, but honestly, it surprises me that it was that recent, because that's like 1200 years ago that they're saying that the first cup of coffee was had.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it would have been like Egyptians or something, like a
Yeah.
really old beverage, but it's not.
Who knows? Maybe we'll see in some sort of Egyptian tomb where there was a.
Just a cup of coffee,
Just a guy
just a mug
drinking
sitting there in a tomb
it.
with coffee left in it,
Yep.
coffee stains. All right. And then the second one, okay, so the second one was a guy
This is the
a
second
man. This is
story
the
of an.
second story. We don't
So,
know if these are true.
okay, so the first one is a possible way that this started,
Right. And it was a goat farmer. That was the goat farmer.
and the synopsis is goat farmer, goat eats cherry, goes crazy. He's like, maybe I should eat this bit cherry. And he's like, oh, it just gave me a whole lot of energy. Goes to the local monk. The monk says, no, this is terrible. Throws him into the fire.
Yes.
The goat farmer already has a coffee addiction so much that he decides, I'm going to pull the beans from this fire, grind them up, boil them, and that was the first cup of coffee.
Yes,
Would you
synopsis.
suggest that style of roasting for coffee?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you have any kind of campfire, I would just grab some coffee cherries and just toss them in. That's definitely the ideal method.
Hey, any cup of coffee is better than no cup of coffee. So,
This is true. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. If you're out there like camping or you're roughing it in like Ethiopia and just like in the mountains and there's like nothing around except for like coffee trees.
let's say you don't have your roasting equipment and you're in the wilderness and all you have is a bag of beans.
Is this like a post-apocalyptic scenario? Like, is there like nothing else?
Yeah,
Like,
you're just in the woods. There's leaves, there's dirt. You might be able to you can make a fire, and I'll say you're next to a nice stream of spring water. How would you make your cup of coffee? I'll say you have a cup.
so I have the green beans, like coffees that are like ready to go, just not roasted, or like
We'll
there's
say
just
they're
a
already.
tree.
We'll
There's just
say in this scenario they're already roasted.
Ooh, they're already roasted?
Yeah,
Excellent. That's
you
like
happen to found in this post-apocalyptic,
there's just a
you took a bag of
wildfire
beans.
just burned up all the trees, and there's just beans roasted perfectly everywhere on the floor.
You just have a bag of beans
Oh.
that's already roasted for you. It's that you've stored it and you're ready and you're like, I just want a cup of coffee.
Well, it's probably stale if it's post-apocalyptic and we store it
Would
there.
you still drink it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so how do you make your cup of coffee?
Okay. Spring. I need something to boil water in, and I need two stones. Probably grind up the coffee as best as I can.
Okay.
Then I'll put the coffee in whatever I'm boiling, bring it to a boil, and then kind of. So, and when you're cupping coffee, it would be a very similar thing. You grind up the coffee, you have it sitting in a bowl, and you fill the bowl with water up to the top, and then you break the crust is what it's called. So all the coffee's sitting right on top. Once you break the crust, that like stops the extraction, so it doesn't like pull too much out of your coffee. So I would just do that. So I would try to grind it up with a couple stones, get it in a bowl, boil the water, and then let it cool, and
So
just break the crust,
you
and
drink the
then.
grounds then at that
No, the
point?
grounds are settled at the bottom.
Okay.
So, as long as you're super careful, like you can just kind of like just kind of like slurp and just,
This is wonderful information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone,
Everyone should know this. Like, everybody
like,
will be found in this scenario at one point in their
in
life.
case you find yourself lost in the
Not
wilderness,
if, when. It will.
when you find yourself lost in the wilderness and you happen to have a bag of nicely roasted coffee beans and a cup and some spring water, you have the ability to drink coffee still.
Absolutely.
So that's good.
Absolutely vital.
Saving lives already.
Saving lives and energy levels, I guess. So, okay, so the second one, the second legend, a man named Sheikh Omar, who's known for healing people, so they banished him from this village. The village people, I'm not sure, like, it's not explained why.
When you say the village people?
He was in a village.
Okay, in a village. Not the village people, like YMCA singing?
No.
Okay,
no.
Different group.
This is actually also in 850 AD.
Okay.
So, slightly before the village people, but right concept, right? They banished him, and this man lives in a cave for whatever reason, finds, like, nothing to eat, so there's a coffee tree around, and he starts eating the coffee cherries, and he's like, wow, that's really bitter, because it's really bitter. And so he decides, in order to, like, make it palatable, he decides he's going to, like, try to, you know, make do with what he's got. He's going to try to cook up the beans. He effectively roasted the beans, did the same thing, ground them up, boiled them, to make it to where he could consume it. And apparently he lived for like 3 or 4 days on just coffee. And then he came back to the village and was like, they welcomed him back in, probably because of the incredible elixir he's just discovered. But they saw that and they let him back in. So moral of the story, if you ever get banished from a village, learn how to make coffee and they will let you back in.
I don't trust the village people.
No, never trust the village people.
Seems like both of them were, like, shunned. Like, in both stories, there was some sort of shunning involved.
Yeah.
And, which is...
It's quite intriguing. But, either way, they're probably both not correct. I mean, like, there's no way those are, like, real.
I'm assuming that there was probably someone somewhere long, long ago before that that ate some of these beans before. Like, yeah, it has to be.
It has to, there's no way that was the very first time somebody consumed that, right? But my favorite one's the goat one for sure.
Yeah.
That's just hilarious.
Watched a goat go crazy and thought, I'm going to eat these too.
Yeah. So then, if you kind of fast forward from then...
People eat the coffee cherries today?
Yeah. Yeah, you can have the shell of the cherry, like the red part, that's actually pretty good, and some people make teas out of it and things like that. It's really, like, fruity and sweet.
People are making teas out of coffee cherries.
Yeah, so, like, not the bean.
I'm almost offended.
Well, yeah, it's not the bean, so... don't be too offended. Okay. It's all right. So if you kind of fast forward from there, in Yemen, so Yemen actually kind of had control over the coffee industry for kind of, you know, several centuries. And they basically would, like, they would control the export and they would kind of sterilize the beans so nobody else could grow them anywhere else. And then before they would send them off. So they completely controlled the coffee industry. So the Dutch then moved on. So Yemen was kind of controlling it. And eventually, like, it's impossible to completely stop the spread of coffee. Eventually, some people got a hold of, like, some live seeds or coffee cherries or whatever and started planting them and growing them. And the Dutch actually started what are people from the Netherlands called?
Netherlands. Netherlands. They're from the Nether regions.
Well, them and the Dutch both started...
I apologize for if anyone...
If anyone's from the Netherlands...
Please let us know.
What are you called? But they both started... They were, like, integral in the kind of moving coffee around. So the Dutch actually at one point... So they had a bunch of colonies and stuff, and they were moving coffee over to those places and, you know, just different areas in Africa, different Asian countries. And then the French took it over to the Caribbean and South America and all of those places. And so the Dutch actually got so cocky with it. They were like, we can grow coffee in... Where's Dutch? Is it Dutch?
Like, Deutschland.
Deutschland. Okay, well, they said that they were so cocky that they tried to grow coffee beans up there. Up in, like, they tried to grow coffee trees up that far north. And there's a pretty clear defined, like, coffee belt where coffee actually really grows well. And that is definitely several thousand miles probably past where an effective region is for growing coffee.
The Dutch people are from the Netherlands.
What? So they're the Dutch from... So if it's the, so they're from... The place is the Netherlands, mm-hmm. and they're the Dutch.
Yeah. Guys, you learn something new every day.
That's ridiculous.
Feel like,
that's, I feel betrayed by the Dutch, actually.
Like, I feel like a real dummy for not knowing that.
Well, at least we are correcting ourselves, and we don't have to wait for somebody to, like...
Tell us how dumb we are?
Yeah, no.
We're absolutely. Realizing in the middle of this recording.
Yeah, I mean, better late than never, right?
That's true, yeah. I just want to personally apologize to everyone from the Netherlands, also known as the Dutch. Please forgive our ignorance. But let's continue with the coffee conversation. Thanks for accepting this apology. So the Dutch were the ones who thought they could grow
coffee. They tried to grow coffee. Yeah. Do you see how far north that is? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean...
It's like in Europe. And...
Yeah, well...
That's thousands of miles from, like, the coffee grows, like, here in, like, the Ethiopia, Kenya... Like that general area.
We're currently looking at a map of the world, and by here he was looking at the equator.
This is true. This is true. Between the Capricorn of the equator.
So is it
Cancer and the other one?
Typically, coffee is grown within
between those two. Yeah, yeah.
You're not able to grow it any further north or south in those areas.
Nope.
Interesting.
So you can actually grow some coffees in Mexico. But as soon as you get into like the northern bits of Mexico, it's like you can't really grow anything. There's nothing good really that comes out of that. But
interesting.
South America, like for instance, Brazil is actually the number one exporter of Arabica coffee in the entire world.
Brazil's pretty far south though.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's it's within the bounds of the two equators. Southern room, the north. I'm messing up the equators. Like I promise, I've graduated fifth grade. Like that's.
Are you smarter than a fifth?
Are you smarter than
right
a fifth
now,
grade?
No,
absolutely not. So, the French brought all the coffee over there, which was kind of cool. Go French. I'm happy for you. I personally prefer the coffees from Africa myself, like Kenyans, Ethiopians. That's just my preference, but there are some great coffees that come out of like Colombia, Brazil, and other countries I'm forgetting.
You were correct. You said the equator and you said Cancer. It's Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn.
That's right. I said the equator of Capricorn, the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn.
Coffee is typically grown between the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn.
Yeah, and altitude affects the growth like pretty significantly, believe it or not. So, for instance, the lower you are, the faster the plant grows, but the more like maybe like bitterness and that kind of profile you get out of the coffee. Like it's just more traditional, earthy, chocolatey kind of coffee. But that's like what Starbucks uses because that's how they can get such massive scale. So they'll go to like Indonesia, which is like right within the bounds. It's really low to the sea level. And they'll just grow massive amounts of beans from a relatively small amount of trees. Yeah, so Indonesia right on the equator.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect for coffee.
That's where the famous Luwak coffee comes from, which Luwak is the animal that walks through the coffee plantations where they're growing it, and the animal sniffs out the very best beans or cherries, eats them, and then they keep the animal, wait for the animal to poop, and it'll poop out the bean, and then they'll take the bean from this animal's poop, and that is what makes Luwak coffee.
So then they roast that.
Then they do a light wash or they clean it in a way.
I mean, hopefully they clean it.
And then they roast that. That is the Luwak coffee.
What intrigues me about this coffee is like, I feel like part of it's just like the lore of an animal having pooped it. People are like so offended by that they actually kind of like it. They're like, I want to try this.
Yeah.
Like it's like, so, but like, how do they know? I bet it's just probably sniffing around for like the ripest berries, the ones that are I guess the sweetest, right? Like, does it chew the bear? It can't chew them, because like then the bean wouldn't be whole, right?
I guess so.
So it's just chilling, and this animal's getting no. This is exploitative. They're not digesting anything from the bean. They're not getting any nutrients.
But it is some of the most expensive coffee you can ever purchase.
I wonder if a vegan could drink that coffee. So it takes, on average, 3 years for a tree, 3 to 7 years for a coffee tree to actually start making beans. So, like, when people were, like, transplanting and bringing the coffees over from place to place, it would take 3 years before they would even see if the crop would take. Like, they had no idea. And it's just nuts to me that people were that dedicated to get coffee from one place to another and get it done, like, well. To do coffee well is something else. So, also, coffee actually has, it was originally known as, like, the devil's drink or something like that. Like, it was pretty anti, like, the church was 100% opposed to coffee for, like, centuries.
Why?
So, it had its roots in Muslim origin, so, like, in Ethiopia and Yemen, and so it was a predominantly Muslim or Islamic drink that would be had, and then as it started shifting over, people in, like, Europe and the people that were in the Catholic Church started drinking it, and they started really liking it because, you know, it was pretty good in caffeine and it was, like, fairly addictive. They would keep drinking it. And then the Pope was, like, it got to the point where they were, like, they brought it to the Pope. They were, like, can we, like, they were hoping that the Pope was going to condemn the drink because these people were, like, it's, like, it's a pagan drink. It's no good. You can't drink coffee. Like, the Pope literally was like, he took on a don't knock until you try it approach. He was like, we're gonna take a drink of this before I say that I you can't have it. And he drank it and he actually liked it. And so he was like, it's up to you guys. Like, I don't know, I'm gonna say it's good. And then,
but bring me some more coffee.
Bring me some more coffee. And so what he did to appease everybody was he baptized coffee beans.
Okay.
He baptized the coffee beans to make sure that you wouldn't get, like, possessed by a demon for drinking them or something like that.
So interesting. So that was where they first started doing the light washes of the coffee beans.
Yes, yeah, that's the that's
through
the
baptism. Origin,
through baptism. So the church actually played a heavy hand in wash processing coffees. Oh, wow.
How was this one washed? With holy water.
With holy water. So, and people back in the day, like, there were people in the mornings that would apparently drink, like, wine and beer with breakfast. And it wasn't until recently, within the last several hundred years, that people have transitioned from that to coffee as a breakfast time drink.
So interesting.
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I was researching on. That seems so strange to me now. But right. I suppose it's
first thing
the
you wake up and, all right, time for my glass of wine.
That's not a bad habit or anything like that. Just, nothing bad could come of that. Yeah. But yeah, so then after that, the coffee houses started popping up all over Europe, all over, and they were already all over the Islamic regions and the Middle East and everything like that. So they just started popping, and yeah.
One thing that I've noticed just about coffee shops here in the U.S. versus coffee shops and other parts of the world, to-go options are there and available, but it is, in some parts of the world, it's like you go and get a cup of coffee and you sit and enjoy that cup of coffee.
Yeah,
it's meant to be coffee is meant to be a thing like what we're doing here, conversation.
Yeah, it's an experience.
To sit, enjoy your cup of coffee. And not to be running and doing all these other things, but just to take that moment to stop.
Yeah.
Have a nice cup of coffee that you really enjoy, that you really like. And not only let those notes seep in, but as you're drinking it and really taste those flavors, but it can be a moment of either contemplation or great conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I want to find the quote, but it talked about... great coffee is equal to like great conversation or something, and it was combining those two together, and neither should be had without the other.
Yeah,
I think is what it was.
That's That's so interesting to see how coffee shops have evolved. Originally, they actually started out like, well, I say started out, well, once it kind of came over into Europe and started really growing, they were known as like penny universities. They were known as like places where you would come, get your coffee, and you would talk, and it would be a very, it would be around conversation. It would be a very conversational thing. And coffee shops have really shifted into modern days, or into today, where you just bring your laptop, you really zone in, you put your headphones on, and you're all to yourself. And that's fine. Like, if you want to go crank out some work, that's excellent. I love working in coffee shops, but there's something special about sitting down and getting to know somebody new and just enjoying,
If
the atmosphere.
anyone ever reaches out to me about like, hey, I'd love to talk to you about this idea or anything, my first thing is, great, yeah, we can go grab a cup of coffee. Like
Absolutely.
that's my thought is I want to go to a coffee shop, I want to sit, I want to talk through it, have a nice cup of coffee, and just enjoy it. And it just allows you to bond over something as simple as coffee, but to also have somewhat of an activity as you're talking through whatever it is you want to talk about. I frequent coffee shops for meetings with friends and everything, even so much as like I have accountability partners, and we go to a coffee shop and we sit at a coffee shop and we have deep dives right in the middle of a coffee shop as we're sipping on coffee. And
Absolutely.
so it's awesome.
And since you said deep dives, it is time for us to see if you have anything else to say. Austin, do you have anything else?
For deep dives, does the question have to do with coffee or can it be anything?
It can be anything.
All
Do you
right.
have anything else?
I just finished my cup of coffee here. Let me think.
Deep dives. Deep dives with Austin. Deep Dives LLC. Deep Dives trademark, patent pending.
Put me on the spot for a dive question.
All right, nothing today, folks. We have nothing in the deep dive category.
Something's manifesting. Okay. We talked a little bit about stranded in the woods or apocalyptic. Jared, what is your zombie apocalypse outbreak plan?
Man, that was a deep question. That was pretty deep. I think if you don't have just grabbing a shotgun and going for it in your plan, like, it's not a very exciting plan, man.
Well, I
See,
asked this
here's
question at work, and a coworker who's also in the military, Nikki's response was, "It's not the zombies you have to worry about; it's the people." It was just
That's
like such a
terrifying.
deep response from someone who's in the. It's like, oh my goodness, she's not wrong though.
No,
Like
that's completely
if you watch
accurate.
Walking Dead or anything,
Oh my gosh.
it's the people you have to worry about
This is
in
true.
those situations and who to trust, who not to trust, all those things. And so it is part of your zombie outbreak plan needs to be surrounding yourself with people that you really can trust. In a way that's going to benefit you. And so when Nikki said that, we all started like, oh my goodness, like that's such a dark and twisted thing. But she was like,
It's
that's what it
so true though. If it wasn't so true, oh my gosh. Well, excellent advice from
So
Nikki.
if you got anything from
Just know who you're surrounding yourself with during a
this,
post-apocalyptic
after
scenario.
everything we've talked about, if you took anything from it, just know. In a zombie apocalypse, it's not the zombies you have to worry about, it's the people.
This is true. Thanks for joining us this week, guys. It's been fun. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Please take some time. If you really liked this episode, you can go ahead and subscribe. We'll have more coming in the future. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Give us some topic ideas, some things that you really want to learn about, want to hear about, want us to talk about, some things that we're thinking about in the future, like murders around coffee, just general coffee culture and just things like that. What does that mean? You'll have to stay tuned to find out.